Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.
It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Welcome to the SEO Queen Tech Show, a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We are broadcast worldwide on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, you can go to SEOQueen.com and book a complimentary strategy session. Just go to SEOQueen.com and click on Speak to the SEO Queen and hop on my schedule. So today's guest is very, very important. This is a gentleman that you are aware of his work, but you have not had the pleasure of meeting him yet. And so I love bringing really giants behind the scenes of pop culture and science and technology to my listeners. So he is the literary trustee of the estate of one of the most iconic African-American playwrights to ever live. She graduated from USC, this playwright, and if any of you are still wondering what playwright we're referring to, I'm just going to say For Colored Girls, Intijaka Shange's literary trustee of her estate. So he viewed the original production of For Colored Girls in his second successful year in 1977. And some 20 years later, he became Intijaka Shange's literary trustee. Mr. Donald Sutton is an internationally known arts administrator, fundraiser, and strategic guide for numerous creative and performing artists, including the voice of Mr. Ossie Davis. His work is away from the spotlight, off the stage, behind the scenes, and it's the reason why you can see Miss Shange's work on Broadway for the next 20 weeks and hopefully longer. You want to make sure you get your tickets. I already spoke to some of my colleagues who I've also interviewed on this podcast who have already bought their ticket and they will be there. So the word is getting out. So you don't want to miss For Colored Girls. But back to Mr. Sutton. As the literary trustee, Mr. Sutton is responsible for directing attention to Shange's treasure trove of work, which includes 13 plays, 7 novels, 6 children's books, 19 poetry collection, in addition to essays, correspondence, and letters to editors. So without further ado, I want to introduce to some and present to others, none other than Mr. Donald Sutton. How are you today?
I'm very good, thanks, and very glad to be with you.
Yes, I am excited to have you here with me today as well. And so I have to ask you, my first question to you is, how did you decide that you wanted to get into the entertainment industry and focus on theater, of all things?
Well, it was actually a kind of gradual thing, you know, the type of thing that creeps up on you. I had a lot of fun in high school, singing in the choir, but I was never involved in theater. And I got involved in theater in kind of a strange way. I was a teenage electronics hobbyist, you know, building radios and that type of thing. And when I got to college, one of the first people I met was a guy that was a ham radio operator,
oh,
and
wow.
brought you know, a ham radio station into the dormitory.
Oh, wow. Okay, okay. So
friends, and I worked with him repairing and expanding that. And he was asked to design the lighting and to do the electrical bit for the college theater for one of their productions. And he asked me to help him.
Okay.
Me to the people that ran the college theater at Elmhurst College, just outside of Chicago. And when they met me, they said, hey, you've got a good voice. We want to, you know, maybe think you should do a show. It turned out that the head of that theater department was doing a PhD in African theater.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, what's the chance of that, right?
Wait, so you started helping a friend do the lighting for the theater, and the people running the theater there at Elmhurst was majoring in African-American theater.
Right. The guy that was the...
So when it comes to theater, you are truly OG. Like, I think you were there.
Yeah. Own up to that. The gray hairs would probably betray
me. Right. An expert. But, you're right.
That is me, Wallace Shainka and Okot Pibitek. And Kofi Awuner, all the great writers and poets, many of them of Ghana and Nigeria. And we did a whole series of African dramas, and that got me the acting bug.
Mm-hmm.
But I was very interested in how the whole thing operated, because, you know, my introduction had been in the lighting, and I continued that. So I took a degree in theater and went on to grad school in Washington in theater. And while I was in school, I was in a 2-year Master of Fine Arts program. In my second year, I got cast at the Arena Stage in Washington, one of the country's most prestigious regional theaters, one of the first of them, in fact. And that was just pure luck. And I wound up in that company for 2 years, getting introduced to the whole professional repertory theater operation. And also, though, they let me kind of roll around in the publicity department because I was interested in that. And I could write a little bit, you know.
Okay.
So they let me explore a lot. And it was really a tremendous opportunity there with Zell Chandler, the founders of the regional theater movement in America. At the same time, my younger sister had been plucked out of a freshman program at University of Iowa by the American stage director, Robert Wilson. And I think his reputation is much bigger worldwide than it is in the US, but the theater people know who he is. Robert Wilson and Philip Glass developed Einstein on the Beach, a landmark opera, and another 24 shows. She toured with him with a show that went to Paris and was the toast of Paris. So at 20, my younger sister, Cheryl, was an international avant-garde theater figure. And she was performing in La Scala and the Amsterdam Concertgebouw and all of these. And next thing I knew, I was doing her performance contracts for Met Opera and the Lyric Opera of Chicago and the Paris Opera Ballet and so on, they're just in quick succession.
So you're telling me you got into this position by osmosis?
Well, that's usually the way people do, you know, because the personal management relationship is so personal.
Right,
have to know everything about the person. And you'll find many, many cases that I could name to you of people who are managed by their mother, managed by their sister, by their brother, by their husband. Mm-hmm. That's how close the relationship is, and it makes it easier because, of course, the management includes what's called the power of attorney. When I make a commitment, the entire Entezaki Shange Trust is committed, and that's a lot of trust to put into someone to, you know, hand them responsibility for signing for you, basically.
Right.
Over the years, I did a number of other things. I was an arts administrator, but managing my sister. And after a few years of that, I'd say by the late 70s, I had come to the attention of Ossie Davis. And he asked me to do some work for him. I basically pitched him on promoting his voice as a separate option, as a separate talent component.
Right. Of course, he
had a film agent, theater agent. He had a major personal appearance speaking agent, but he didn't have anybody promoting that Ossie Davis voice. And you may remember that. And we were immediately successful with that. We went into, we put Ossie into four Ken Burns television documentaries, Jefferson, Jazz, The West, and Baseball. All of those are partly narrated by Ossie Davis. And those were all tracks that I was involved in. And I added to that Savion Glover, the young tap dancer.
Savion,
love him. Beautiful, beautiful guy. Mm-hmm. And I went on from there to start working with writers. And I'd say maybe 30 years ago, I signed Lawrence Holder, who mm-hmm. an African-American playwright and the author of about 50 plays. Most of them have been produced by Woody King in New York. Mm-hmm. And award-winning, but also internationally. And Paul Carter Harrison, whom we just lost, the author of The Great McDaddy, which was the Negro Ensemble Company's first commercial hit off Broadway, but running for a long time. Through personal friends, I met Ntozake Shange.
Oh, wow. And
we started working together in about 88, 89. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot of personal appearance booking for her through the mid-90s. Mm-hmm. And she went off into a fabulous teaching position that she'd been offered. And I went off into building museums.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, as a fundraiser, I've raised the money that built the Studio Museum in Harlem that's being replaced now. Mm-hmm. And Charles Wright Museum of African American History in Detroit.
Wait. Hold up. Stop. So I've been to the Charles Wright African American History Museum.
Okay.
On multiple occasions.
Well, you like it. Yeah. I think it's
gorgeous.
Just a year ago, but it was opened and construction completed as the result of a fundraising campaign that I directed. And then I worked with
it's a small world. It really is a small world.
I guess so. I think that took about 2 years
to raise the funds.
Yes, it was the main thing happening in Detroit at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and which had a sense of that it was coming back, but the only thing that was actually happening was the development of the museum. And we actually generated about $25 million in 2 years for the construction of that facility and to open it in 95 to 97.
Mm-hmm.
I returned to New York to work for the then American Craft Museum mm-hmm. as a senior president for development and public affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to put together the package that is currently the Museum of Arts and Design on Columbus Circle in Manhattan. And although I was not there through the entire process, that was ultimately was a $50 million campaign. I continued kind of in that vein with academic institutions. I was at Rutgers, as you can see, I've got on my Rutgers, because it's chilly here.
Yeah, you have on your Rutgers hoodie. As you can see, I'm wearing a sundress. I'm in Long Beach, California.
But of course, all this time I was managing talent. I was working with my sister. I was working with Lawrence, Paul Harrison, and doing their contracts kind of on the side. I kept, you know, my company going.
Mm-hmm.
And when I decided to leave Rutgers in 2015, I was looking around for things to do. I was basically semi-retired.
Mm-hmm.
And attended an event that honored Ntozake Shange's brother, whom I'd also known for many years.
Mm-hmm.
Departed a major state position that he was in for quite a while. And Ntozake and her sister Bisa and her sister Ifa were there supporting their brother, Paul. And Dezaki and I got to talking, and it turned out she was in a very similar situation to what she'd been in when I met her.
Mm-hmm.
Tax people all over her and that type of thing. And we were able to unscramble a lot of that and get her back on a firm footing.
Mm-hmm.
And that began my work with her on getting Colored Girls back on Broadway. That was our first priority from the beginning of our conversation, was to first get For Colored Girls. Well, actually, it was first to get the rights back, because she didn't control the rights at that point.
Mm-hmm.
We spent another year convincing the public theater that this show, For Colored Girls, would consider Suicide When the Rainbow Is Enough,
mm-hmm.
Play to a contemporary audience. And once they came on board, maybe it was probably 2017 by then,
mm-hmm.
And Tazaki was over the moon with that. She knew that if we got a public theater production, that would be a springboard to Broadway, and we'd have the show back on big stage.
Right.
And I'm very grateful for that, because that year of 2018 proved to be the year of Zaki's life.
Yeah.
He passed away very suddenly at the end of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
System that we had, the process we had set up, involved the automatic establishment of a trust upon her death.
Mm-hmm.
I am literary trustee, mm-hmm. and her, Paul Williams Jr., is executor of the estate.
And Paul Williams Jr., who is that?
And Tazaki's brother.
Okay. That's what I thought I heard you say. Okay.
He had been a prominent Wall Street lawyer.
Okay. And,
was the president of the New York State Dormitory Authority for many years, sort of 6 or 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
The very, very strong legal background and financial background. And with me doing the theater stuff of dealing with the producers and dealing with distribution and copyrights and all of that stuff, mm-hmm. Turned out, I think, to be a pretty effective team. Suffice to say that by the middle of last year, actually by the middle of 19, mm-hmm. we had a committee to the public to open at the public and run in a fairly small house, which we did in 2019, sold that house out for 9 weeks and attracted the support and professional experience of Nell Nugent and Ron Simons, the two lead producers for the Broadway show. So that, in a nutshell, is how I got to where we are. We opened on April 20th. This has been just about the best reviewed show of any this season. Mm-hmm. Superlative reviews, ecstatic gushing, really, from all the critics. It's a beautiful production.
It's stunning. I've seen the pictures, and I hope I can. I don't know if it's sold out yet, but I want to come to New York and watch
it. Well, it's not sold out. There are tickets available, and we'd love for you to come in if you're in New York at all in the next few months. I hope. To see the show, because it really is an experience. It's a completely different experience.
Right.
The earlier shows, I saw the original, and of course I've seen 8 or 12 productions since then, traveling with Aunt Isaac. But this one is completely different. You know, Aunt Isaac developed a concept of what she called the choreo poem.
Mm-hmm.
That is
tell our listeners about the choreo poem.
Well, actually, it's not a play in the sense that you meet these different characters and watch their development through a series of crises,
mm-hmm.
and in love, maybe going to war, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The choreo poem is a series of monologues. It's spoken word poetry, basically, from the early 70s, the type of thing that Aunt Isaac was doing, and Sonia Sanchez, mm-hmm. and the Latin poets.
Right.
With a musical accompaniment.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's staged with a great deal of dance. And there's never been as much dance as there has been in this production.
Right.
Our Camille A. Brown, mm-hmm. is a celebrated choreographer, one of the top up-and-coming theatrical talents, I think, in the country.
Mm-hmm.
She won great acclaim for her production of Fire Shut Up in My Bones mm-hmm. at Alton Opera last fall. It was the first by an African-American composer in the Met Opera's history, written by Terrence Blanchard.
Oh, we love Terrence Blanchard's music.
Yes.
Love great. Terrence Blanchard's music. Oh, my goodness. Dance with Terrence Blanchard, you know you have a hit.
Yeah. And it was a hit. It is really a landmark production. And Camille, in fact, brought Sepp to the Met stage.
What?
Second act of Fire Shut with an elaborate and complex and really brilliantly executed step sequence by the Alpha Phi Alpha?
Alpha Phi Alpha.
Role in the main characters.
So she actually had in her production like legit fraternity members to do the step.
I would imagine that some of them are alphas.
Because
they're everywhere. They're pretty pervasive.
Yeah. But,
these are all professional dancers. These are people, performing on the stage of the Met Opera and a lot of Broadway experience and whatnot. And what she's able to do with people who have been training in dance for 8, 10, 12, 15 years
right.
was just remarkable. I don't think you've ever seen, a fraternity step of this kind.
Was the name of that production again?
That opera is Fire Shut Up in My Bones.
Okay, I'm going to have to see if I can find some YouTube clips of that. But I wanted to ask you about Camille A. Brown. So how did it come about that she, like, once you and Intejake Shange were able to get, public theater in 2017 to start, the For Color Girls production. How did you get Camille involved in the staging and directing? Well,
that's actually an interesting story. Probably in about 2015,
mm-hmm.
Before I had actually picked up Zaki's management, her sister, Ifa Baeza, who has been her collaborator and is a noted poet and playwright in her own right, took her to the Kennedy Center to see Camille Brown dancers.
Mm-hmm.
And very excited about what they did. I had seen the company just about that same time and was very excited at what they were doing, what Camille is doing to combine a characteristic African-American movement, the kind of gesture and movement that you see on the streets of our cities, with a certain amount of ballet and a certain amount of very sophisticated jazz dance. And mm-hmm. she's a new style around combining all of those.
Right.
And they're quite evident in the production of Colored Girls. Mm-hmm. So Camille does kind of community events mm-hmm. in which she encourages young people to get involved in dance and the arts.
Right.
And she invited us to one of those and in New York. And I brought Entezaki to see that. And she was convinced at that point that Camille was the person to choreograph this show. So when we went to, we were talking to the public at that time, and when we got a green light, one of our issues, one of our conditions was that Camille Brown was the choreographer. And it proved to be quite prescient that Camille was nominated for a Tony Award right after that, or a show that we'd never seen, but I've since seen. And another year or so later, I was doing Fire Shut Up in My Bones at the Met. So by the time we went into rehearsal on For Colored Girls, we already had captured just about the hottest choreographer in the industry. And just a lovely, lovely.
Wow. That's incredible.
Things come together, I think, for the good.
Right.
And so we already had Camille under contract, and we were very happy about that because she's fielding offers from every direction at this point.
Right.
And had her lined up. But of course, COVID delayed all of this by about 2 years.
Okay.
The kind of marked step and marked time. But Camille, I think, did get an opportunity, in some cases working with me, to really study this script and to add a couple of things from other works of Entozaki's that were added into For Colored Girls, and really come up to speed on how this would be interpreted and how it would be done. And when she went into work on it, the basis of her work was still dance and movement, but she was able, I think, to bring a really expert hand far beyond her years to the dramatic interpretation of the work and the presentation of the poetry, the building of, in some cases, rather complicated poetic images in the minds of the audience. One of the things that I'm just very proud of that is so evident and that I really admire Camille's accomplishment.
That's awesome. So who would you say Entozaki Shange is?
Who would I say Entozaki Shange is? Well, to my thinking, she's one of a small handful of actually classic poet playwrights with American background. Writing classical poetry, writing poetry is very difficult, but a good poet is able to communicate with his or her audience, either on stage or on the page, on several levels simultaneously. That's what poetry does. That's what it means to create word pictures. They say that, a picture is worth 1,000 words, but if you can use words to create 1,000 pictures, that's a lot of information. That's a lot of data. And is one of a handful of Americans that have achieved that. I think I put her in the tradition and the legacy of Homer and Shakespeare. And I don't think that's overstated, because her intention was to make an epic statement. And For Colored Girls has shown that it can do that and has done that. And I've joked with the cast that when they're in their early hundreds, they're going to have to keep in touch with their agents to send them up for Colored Girls 2080, because I'm sure it's coming. And they know all the lines already.
Wow. You know, when I think about the play For Colored Girls as a Black woman and the impact this had on me, and, I would say that Entozaki Shange is also not only, a playwright, but she's a griot in the same vein of like a Nina Simone, August Wilson, her being able to articulate the experience of the Black woman in America is hits the nail on the head every time. And it's so moving, so impactful. And I'm really excited to see the production on Broadway. I'm really excited to see it.
Well, of course, we're delighted. It's been a long road. And, I spoke to the cast on their first rehearsal day that this was actually the culmination of 7 years of work. Mm-hmm. Every day, I'm sure for the last 7 days, I've done something to do with getting For Colored Girls on Broadway, either through publicity, through promotion, through working with the producers, all of that. And of course, the public theater production, which ran October, November, and December of 2019, one of the culminations, but that of course was brilliantly done and choreographed in that case by Camille Brown. Mm-hmm. And attracted the attention of one of Broadway's most experienced and celebrated producers, Nell Nugent, who has 60 Broadway plays behind her. and who came in with guns blazing. She was ready to do this, mm-hmm. and she knew it, and she knew where to get the money. And we were also able to enable, though, Ron Simons, Simons Entertainment, who was at that time bringing in Thoughts of a Colored Man.
Okay.
So involved with Ain't Too Proud, mm-hmm. and Love Production. I think he's the most Tony awarded black producer in the country. It's 5 Tony Awards.
Oh wow!
For previous productions.
That's a huge deal.
That is huge. That is huge. I don't think there are any other African Americans with that credit. It's been a joy working with him. In fact, he just called me a minute ago. I got to call him back.
Okay. That's awesome. So. My question before you give us, you know, how to contact, connect with Enter Jacques Chagay's work is, what would you say to the aspiring, playwrights and poets who want to get their work on Broadway? What tips would you give them on, making that happen?
Well, I would say become familiar with the best writers, the best artists from every background. Mm-hmm. We've had a number of brilliant African American playwrights. You mentioned August Wilson, but also Ossie Davis had a couple of Broadway successes of shows that he had written, and mm-hmm. There really are a few more. And of course, at this point, we have a whole generation of young black playwrights. Michael R. Jackson, whose Strange Loop is running to packed houses right now on Broadway, won the Pulitzer Prize in 2019, I think, when it premiered off Broadway. Dominic Morisseau has just opened the off Broadway.
Say that one more time.
Dominique Morisseau has Confederates.
Okay.
Title of the play running off Broadway. Lynn Nottage has got several hits running. I believe that she did Michael Jackson, the Michael Jackson musical.
Mm-hmm.
Susan Laurie Parks. Successes on Broadway. So we have a whole generation of young 30-something and early 40s African-American playwrights, all of whom consider themselves as coming along in the footsteps of Enter Jacques Chagay. They've all told her that. They've all told me that.
Right.
Reading For Colored Girls or seeing a production of For Colored Girls inspired them to take up playwriting as a profession. So I think that's the main thing, is to become familiar with the best.
Right.
Also read and see the Arthur Miller and, the great American playwrights. There's a lot to be learned.
The Crucible and those other plays. Yeah.
Bootleg from the construction of Long Day's Journey into Night.
Twelve Angry Men.
Exactly. Clifford Odets. Mm-hmm. There are a number of playwrights that are in that category, I feel, whose work is ageless, and 100 or 150 years from now will still be being performed and will still be teaching audiences the kind of moral lessons that we learn in the theater. Right. I think theater is a moral enterprise, and good plays always have a message that as to how people can improve their lives and society. And I'm just very proud to be a part of assisting that part of Enter Jacques Chagay's legacy, which I'm sure is aimless and will continue far beyond any of us.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's incredible. So how can people connect officially with her estate?
Actually, the estate is operated through my company, Global Artists Management of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And we're available on the official Enter Jacques Chagay website, That's official entezakishange, all one word, .com on the web. And of course, you've been a great help in expanding the reach on that.
Absolutely.
for professional assistance and support. You've done a great job for us, multiplying our reach by quite a few times, by 6 or 8 times in the last few months since we've been working with you. But official entezakishange.com has links to the box office for the show and the link to the reissued publication of For Colored Girls that includes an introduction by the celebrated young Black writer, Jesmyn Ward, and also an introduction by our director, Camille A. Brown, and that's available on Scribner and available at Amazon. For Colored Girls Who Considered Suicide When the Rainbow Is Enough, the re-release. It's all available by link on the official entezakishange.com website. Mm-hmm. Now, Entezaki, of course, was the author of 13 plays, of which the best known is For Colored Girls. But she was also the author and lyricist of a musical version of Betsy Brown, her novel, which we are working on right now to reintroduce as a musical, hopefully for a Broadway season coming up. She is the author of Spell Number 7. She is the author of a brilliantly accepted and well-received translation, they call it. It's really a complete adaptation of Bertolt Brecht's classic Mother Courage. And like I said, 13 other plays. A Photograph, Lovers in Motion, was produced by the Negro Ensemble Company just last year, just before the lockdown, to widely widely approving reviews. And we have other shows that people are looking at. In addition to 7 novels. Now, I mentioned Betsy Brown, which is a coming of age story that's a biography of Entezaki as a young girl, as a 10 or 11, 12 year old. Mm-hmm. That is the cutest story, and I think is going to make a tremendous musical. Also, she collaborated with her sister, Aoife Baeza, on Some Sing, Some Cry, which is a voluminous novel that covers 6 generations of African-American women in the same family, spanning the period from the end of the Civil War to World War II. It's epic. It's an African-American Thornbirds. And we are promoting that for a film treatment now. Like I said, there are 7 novels. They're all available on Amazon, and if you search Entezaki Shange on Amazon, you get about 3 pages.
I just have to say, for the listeners who are listening, support this art. Support it. It's so important.
Well, that's really
many reasons.
Mm-hmm. That's really what we need. Beside the issue of enabling artists to continue their brilliant work, there are remarkable lessons for all people, but right, particularly for African Americans in the work of Entezaki Shange and our dear friend Sonia Sanchez and many of the other people, some of whom you named. Both from the Black Arts Movement in the 70s and right up to today with these new younger poets and the best-selling authors and writers. We're working with Dr. Imani Perry right now on survey compilation of unpublished work of Entezaki Shange that's being drawn from our archives at Barnard College. Of course, Dr. Perry, best-selling biographer of Lorraine Hansberry, Searching for Lorraine, was New York Times bestseller. Right. And We're
For those who are listening who don't know, Lorraine Hansberry wrote the play To Be Young, Gifted, and Black.
Yes.
And A Raisin in the Sun.
Better known as A Raisin in the Sun. But A Raisin in the Sun was the first successful Broadway hit by an African-American writer. The second was For Colored Girls by Angezaki Shine, which ran a year longer than A Raisin in the Sun.
This is incredible. I just want to thank you, Mr. Sutton, for taking the time to drop this incredible history lesson, giving us a view into the world of theater that we rarely ever get, you know, behind the scenes, how productions come together for Broadway. This has been incredible. Thank you so much for coming on the SEO Tech Show.
I wanted to answer your question a little more directly as to what young writers should be thinking of in preparing for a career on Broadway. And it's really, I can do it in a nutshell. It's keep at it, don't quit, and read everything you can get your hands on. I think those three are really consistent through the work and the lives and the habits of every successful playwright and writer that I've worked with. They've all read an enormous amount of stuff from every cultural background, and particularly Americana. They've all stuck to it through years and years. Michael R. Jackson from A Strange Loop recounts in some of his interviews that A Strange Loop is an overnight sensation after 20 years of work. That script, elements of it started, you know, and Colored Girls opened initially in 1977. And Tazaki had been working on elements of that for 10 years.
Wow.
Some of the poems in For Colored Girls were written when she was 19 and 20 years old. Wow. And we remark all the time at how could she have had that insight at 19?
That's incredible.
The beginning of Somebody Who Almost Walked Off With All of My Stuff.
That poem right there.
That's a classic. In fact, we have an audience every night that speak it along with our actor. you could hear out in the audience. And I didn't know that he got away with it. You know, and he don't know. Right. They say it right along with her. On stage.
That's definitely one of the realest poems in the collection. It resonates on a whole different frequency. Because a lot of people have been in that situation. So it really resonates.
And it's recounted so poetically and the image is so rich that people are very much affected by it. But she started elements of that poem when she was 19.
That's incredible.
Really is remarkable.
You know, another thing I find remarkable about Ntozake Shange is how she viewed herself.
Mm.
And how she changed her name and the reasons why. But we're not gonna go into that now. Because I'm looking at our time. We could
yeah, talk. Explanation of that as well is available on the website, officialentozake.com.
Yes, look for the website.
Of Ntozake that discusses the name change and her early years performing components of For Colored Girls in bars and dive bars and women's bars in San Francisco. And later moving that to New York and meeting up with theater people who said, you know, well, this will make a show, you know, and really it stemmed from that. It is still that original production is the longest running play by an African-American writer in Broadway history. And we're hoping that we're going to match that again this time.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you've been listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, where my special guest has been Mr. Donald Sutton, who is the literary agent and the literary trustee for Ntozake Shange's estate. You can get more information about her estate by going to officialintajakeshange.com. And if you look at the graphic for this podcast episode, the URL is there as well. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device through the Bashani Radio app. And we're also on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and many other platforms. So I want to thank you again for listening. And you can always connect with me, the SEO Queen. I want to make sure you heard what Mr. Donald Sutton said. He said that the SEO Queen amplified their reach 6 to 8 times. If you want to know how we can do that for you, just go to SEOQueen.com and click on Speak to the SEO Queen to book your strategy session today. But again, I just want to say thank you so much. And until next time.
Thank you very much, G. It's been a real pleasure.
It's time to grow with the SEO Queen. Get visibility like never before. The traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO Queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. The traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.